Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I am Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President, CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
Indeed it is. Hello.
I know. Now Hello. What?
Now what? Maybe we should just eat and enjoy wine.
Well.
For the next hour.
Yeah. I know. When's the last time we had a cheese plate brought in?
Or charcuterie? It's been a while. We're going to have to chat with our guests.
We need to think about, like...
What's the bounty?
The scheduling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll get Skylar on that.
What do we need? When do we need it?
When do we need it? All the stuff. We need all the stuff.
There's going to be a lot of cheese, you know, like fresh cheeses coming out
soon.
So maybe we do a dairy.
We should plan accordingly.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think...
Because that was really fun when we had Karen Bianchi on and got to eat all those... Excellent cheeses.
Well, and great stories, too.
Yeah.
Multi-generational again.
Right?
Are you going to add dairies into the Century Club?
That's a great question. Currently, the sort of parameters were around having farmed anything, essentially, for the past 100 years, but wine grapes today, since it was more of a wine grower opportunity, I guess, or focus program, but not opposed. Never say never.
Never say never.
I mean, farmers are farmers.
They sure are.
So... Well, so much good stuff going on today. We're actually pre-recording this show because I will be out at Sarah Lee and Richard's barn at the fairgrounds, Sonoma County Fairgrounds, for our 7th annual employee recognition celebration, which honors our vineyard workforce.
Okay.
Which you've been to.
I have been to. I feel like I tried to go last year.
I feel like you try to come every year, but at least occasionally we get you.
Okay. Well.
I know.
It's an amazing event. So tell us a little bit about who you are recognizing. Can you
elaborate?
Can you give us a well? I suppose it's day. This is airing day of. So who is the employee of the year?
Oh, I feel like I just can't say it out loud yet.
Really?
Even though I know.
In case this leaks?
I know.
I don't know.
Seriously. Jeff, our producer, might like, you know, want to poke at me and just be like, oh, I'm going to release the show early.
Well,
and then what do I do?
I know. Then there's a leak.
Yeah. There's a leak.
And Jeff is the leak.
And he'd be the problem. Just kidding, Jeff. We love you. So super exciting. So this is an event we put on, our foundation puts on, and the foundation's real mission is to support our vineyard workforce and their families. And so this was actually our first kind of official program was called our employee recognition program. So every month our... farmers, vineyard management companies can nominate one of their employees in a slew of different categories, anything from like a pruning, safety, harvest sort of, you know, work skill set to communications, taking initiative, leadership. And every month we choose four employee winners. We honor them. They get a $500 gift card, which is really great. Will McCoy comes and takes their photo, and they get some cool swag. We put their photos up in our boardroom, which you've been in our boardroom.
Yeah,
we now have over 300 plus employees that have been honored since 2018. And so lots of photos up. And then every year at the end of the year, or really the beginning of the next year, so we're celebrating all the 2024 winners today, we honor all of them at a formal recognition. They get to invite their families, so their spouses, partners, kids, parents, however that may look, the employers. So we're set to have over 400 people at Sarah Lee and Richard's barn, honoring 49 employees this year. And we will be naming our employee of the year for 2024. I'm just going to tell you it's a good one. That's all you're going to get out of me. It's a good one.
Oh, okay.
I will say this. He's awesome.
Right.
Because last year we had our first female winner.
I know, and she came on the show.
Yolanda Cruz came on the show.
Lovely guest.
Yeah, from Redwood Empire Vineyard Management. So we'll have to have our new winner on the show, which will be really fun.
All right, things to look forward to.
Right?
Anything else going on this weekend? Football?
No.
Well, we don't need to talk about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's,
Jeff says no.
Yeah.
He says we're not allowed.
Yeah,
okay.
He would leak the story if we did, so that's it. We're out. We're out on that
one. Yeah, I
know.
Yeah, okay.
No. But lots of good stuff. We just got back from Palm Springs. We did a Zen X event in Napa last weekend. So our team has just been really road warriors for the last, since this year started. Off we go.
And you're just getting started.
And it's not slowing down. So.
All right. Well, we will introduce our guests when we come back on The Good Stuff. Thanks for joining us. on The Good Stuff, and we want to welcome our guest today, David Milner, Director of Winemaking and Viticulture at Donnellan Family Wines, in studio with us. Welcome, David.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
When we were joking before we came back from the break that Kush was supposed to be here, in theory.
Yeah.
And was like, I want to come on the show. And we're like, come on the show. And he was like, great. David would love to come on the show.
Yeah.
And that was that. So
yeah.
Welcome.
I guess maybe we should just add Director of West Coast Operations to my title, too.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks, well, Kush. Yes. Love you, buddy.
And face. Face of the brand.
Yeah, face of the brand. Yeah, ambassador, yeah. Spokesperson.
Face and voice.
Voice of the brand. Know,
yeah.
Today, the voice of the brand.
So
like
really,
that.
You can say anything. We encourage that. But Kush might be listening eventually. Who knows? All right. Well, tell us a little bit. I mean, you are a Northern California kid, right? Raised here. Tell us a little bit about kind of how you ended up in your role doing winemaking and viticulture.
Who are you? Take us back.
Sure, we want us about your childhood.
Yes. In the beginning.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, well, where were you born?
I was born in Fairfield, California. So Solano County, just east of Napa.
Almost local Sonoma County.
Yeah, almost local,
adjacent. Sonoma County
but,
adjacent.
You know, Sonoma County's is a special place.
For sure.
When I came out here to go to university, actually, when I first checked it out, I knew that, you know, it was a place where I wanted to be. And it's 20 years later, 21 years later. So the wine thing kind of came about via brewing, ironically. Mm. I fell into a group of older friends, and we basically brewed beer every Friday. Two batches, 10 gallons, which if you've ever done any home brewing, it's a lot of work. But
and it never stops.
Yeah, fell in love with fermentation, and it was basically turtles all the way down from there. We started making cheese, taking all the classes at a local shop called The Beverage People. Shout out, guys.
Nice.
Taking a couple winemaking classes, interfacing with people, and then one of the friends in this brewing group, he got a job at a local winery in the Russian River. And I wasn't even 21 at the time. And he said, hey, we're looking for, you know, a busser, a barback. You can come work weekends. You know, the pay is good. And when you turn 21, we got to take home all the open bottles at the end of the day.
Nice.
You know? I was sold. Fringe benefits. Sound like this great college job, something on the weekends. And basically through working through there, doing fermentations with my friends, talking about wine, meeting people. People coming from all over the country, all over the world. It was really just this contagious attitude around wine. And this was when Pinot Noir was on its real big upswing. Talking, you know, 07, 08. Mm-hmm. There wasn't enough Pinot Noir to be made in the land.
Right.
People were just coming from all over.
A lot of Pinot was getting planted because of the phenomenon that it was becoming.
Mm-hmm. It was just such a great scene. And after, you know, about a year or so of talking about the wine, I eventually started pouring it and hosting it and selling. I decided to make a commitment to switch tracks in university and went with the wine business program in Sonoma.
Yeah,
and,
great program.
Yeah, great program. And soon after that, I kind of fell into getting my first bit of fruit for free.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, a little bit of Merlot. I met a grower in a tasting room that I was working in, and he said, hey, I have some uncontracted Merlot. You know, you could have whatever you pick.
You have to pick it.
Yeah,
a lot of uncontracted Merlot in those days, right?
Yeah, right. That was the era, right? Mm. Pinot's on the upswing, Merlot's on the downswing. So I drug a roommate / college friend at the time with me, and we had no idea what we were doing. I'm sure the ranch owner was laughing at us. It was his home ranch. He's probably peeking out through the front windows.
Look at these guys.
Look at these guys.
He didn't come out and help you? Come on. Come on.
You know, he did, actually. And this
or maybe
is,
show you how it works.
He let us, you know, I think it's great to learn on your own, especially through mistakes. And he let us, you know, make a mistake and definitely took note and never made that mistake again. So we were picking into these 55-gallon plastic drums. I'd purchased them off of Craigslist. They held soy sauce, and we cleaned them out and sanitized them, and we picked into them. Well, we picked it about half full before he came out and said, how are you going to get that in the back of your buddy's Ford Explorer?
Yeah.
You probably got 500 pounds of grapes. So, you know, that was the first start to make it. And I made it in Carport and Runner Park in the place I was living. And, you know, through graduating in Sonoma State Wine Business Program, doing a lot of talking about selling wine through the various years working in the tasting room, you know, I committed myself to doing it and worked my first harvest in 2010. Nice. And since then, it was just being an intern, then a full-time cellar worker, and working my way up one rung at a time, both in Napa and Sonoma. And I've been at Donnellan since 2017, started as cellar master.
Yeah, wow. Fantastic. I mean, so, but it sounds like you, so the viticulture part and the winemaking part, you really did learn sort of just by doing and by getting out there and having opportunities with people that were give you grapes or friends that were teaching you on the viticulture side. But the wine business program, clearly you had more of an interest in like the big picture of the wine industry.
That was part of it. I mean, it was also part convenience, just already being at, I was enrolled at Sonoma State.
Yeah.
So I was at this crossroads, you know, yeah. Do I go back and take the full set and redo my GE and apply to Davis or apply to Fresno? You know, back to your question, you know, the majority of what I've learned has been on the job. I've been very lucky to have a great set of mentors. Mike Sullivan at Pinovia.
Yeah.
I worked under him. Phenomenal winemaker. Joe Nielsen, who was a previous winemaker at Donnellan. He's now at Ramsgate. He taught me so much on the wine growing side of the equation. But also, I knew it was important to get formal education and formal backing, formal understanding. So being able to use SRJC as a resource was very important.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the time, Davis had weekend classes. It wasn't fully formed into the certificate program like they have now, which I think is such a great option for working professionals. Because I was a working professional at the time, you know, kind of finished up school, working the tasting room, working harvest gigs. And it allowed me to take certain classes, lab classes, classes on viticulture, and just audit them while, yeah. You know, I've always been kind of an autodidactic learner.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of reading, you know, watching videos on YouTube and finding the right mentors
yeah.
with these classes is really, you know, my equation to this yeah. to this job.
We've heard that combination a lot, mentors and the Santa Rosa Junior College.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, an incredible resource.
In our
backyard. For decades.
For decades.
There's people who came in the 60s and 70s who were taking classes there with
yeah.
Rich Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Shout out Rich.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. I was gonna say,
I just
taught Mary Lark's Padgett's first class of semester a couple weeks ago.
Lovely.
And so it's kind of funny, if people who came up under like the Rich Thomas era or the Mary Lark era,
yeah.
I think out at the JC, and two just stalwarts that have, you know, literally yeah. raised so many winemakers and viticulturalists in our community. It's pretty awesome. I know, we have to get them on this show one of these days.
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, you've given us some inspiration. So you end up at Donnellan as cellar master to begin with, correct? So this is when yeah. you sort of overlap with Joe.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Was there something in particular that you were looking for when you joined Donnellan? Was it the opportunity? I mean, they are, at least in that era, very well known for Rhone, very well known for Syrahs, mostly a lot of different Syrahs and mm-hmm. Rhone whites. Or was it the size of the winery? Like, what was the appeal in particular?
I mean, it was kismet that I got the job, basically. So I had a great stint working for Mike Sullivan at Pinovia, mm-hmm. but I knew I wanted to try something different. And I'd made a list of about 24 wineries of places I want to work, and Donnellan was on that list. I'd had their wines, my favorite restaurant in Healdsburg, where I was living at the time, Campo Fina, RIP Campo Fina.
No, I know, sorry.
Such a great place. They carried Donnellan's Cuvée Mariah, the Grenache-based blend,
yeah.
by the bottle, by the glass. And I always ordered that wine. I love that wine. It had a little bit of age on it, and it was just, it went really well with the food. And I'd known the winery. I'd bumped into Tyler Thomas and Joe Nielsen in the past.
Yeah.
You know, part of this autodidactic learning was going tasting and going to open houses. And I'd been to Donnellan open houses before. One of them, Tyler put on this great presentation. It was, you know, Chateauneuf du Pape and what that looks like compared to domestic Grenache. And, you know, it really made an impression on me. Like, these guys take wine seriously. Mm. So, you know, I made my list going back to wanting to find a new job. And one day, a job posting for Cellar Master for Donnellan pops up. You know, it actually had probably been in the feed.
You're like, that's a good day.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And I applied, and I, like, you know, I think maybe even the same night, Joe Nielsen emailed me and was like, are you able to come in for an interview for tomorrow? Because I think they'd already had it posted for like a month, and maybe I was getting to it late in the game. Interviewed with him. It went really well. And this was like end of a week. He's like, can you come back Monday? I was like, I'll be there Monday. Show up Monday. And Cushing Donnellan's there. He flew up from LA. He was living at the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that really made a mark on me. Like, this is a family business. They care about who they're bringing on the team. Mm-hmm. You know, they're hiring for a cellar master, but like the family's involved. And, it happened really fast. And, you know, getting back to what was the appeal, you know, the dedication to the highest form of not only winemaking, but wine growing, mm-hmm. you know, with our Obsidian Estate in Knights mm-hmm. Valley, and family's commitment, really backing the brand. You know, Joe Donnellan will say, this is my name on the door, and, you know, I only want wines A's with 5+'s, and he truly means that. And as a winemaker, that's liberating.
Yeah. Give us a little bit of the background of the Donnellan family, because they kind of came on the scene, I'm thinking, mid-2000s? Or
yeah, 2000.
2000 itself, 2000. Okay.
Yeah. So Joe was a very successful paper executive salesperson back in the day when catalogs were made out of paper.
Oh, my gosh.
Didn't come on your computer. You had clients such as L.L. Bean.
Yeah.
Macintosh, you know, wow. When your computer came with the manual that was 500 pages long.
What are these things you talk of?
Yeah,
exactly. Like, never heard of that.
And really what he was great at was building relationships with people. Mm. And he's always been a people person and a lover of food. He loves to dine. He loves wine. And he'd explored wine through years. He had a master sommelier who, you know, Joe would engage and basically said, hey, be my teacher, teach me about wines. And Joe fell in love with wines of the Rhone. So fast forward to, you know, the early 2000s, Joe was thinking of an early retirement program. You know, I think he saw the way that the paper industry was going. He's done well, and he wanted a retirement investment, retirement passion mm-hmm. project, and he started a winery with a partner called Pax Wine Cellars, and that was version 1.0
yep.
of Donnellan. And they had huge success,
yeah.
huge success with single vineyard Syrahs and Rhone-style wines. You know, we're talking about domestic Roussan, domestic Grenache. It really wasn't that popular, and they were kind of, I don't want to say on the first wave, but maybe like wave 1.5 mm-hmm, of riding that, because there were, you know, trailblazers like Randall Graham mm-hmm. and John Albin.
But certainly in Sonoma County, they were trailblazing.
Yeah, Chris. Yeah. They,
right?
They were. And finding these sites, you know, because people think about Pinot and mm-hmm. the craze about Pinot right now. But, you know, Syrah was the promised variety in the mid-90s and in the yep. late-90s. So there was, you know, quite a bit of planning going on. And some of these sites that they originally worked with in 2000, 2003, we still contract with
right.
to this day.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I recognize some of the vineyard
designates. Yeah, it's a testament.
From the early days.
Yeah.
I know,
yeah.
It's great.
I mean, Griffin's Lair, I always remember, was such an early one. And that notion of, like, finding the right sites for
yeah.
Syrah and Roussan or whatever
specific,
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think a pioneer for sure in Sonoma County and an ongoing, you know, marker.
Well, I love, too, because it's such, not often do you get a winery that is making multiple Syrahs from different sites in a little different way versus, you know, maybe a winery has kind of a signature Syrah if they have it, it's part of a portfolio, and most of the wines are Pinot or Cab or something different. So to have that focus has been really fun, because I think it enables the consumer to learn a lot about what Syrah Grenache can be like from Sonoma County.
Yeah.
Indeed. I think, especially in this area, you see many permutations of Pinot Noir from this single vineyard,
yeah.
that single vineyard. But to do it with Syrah, you know, this study of terroir through the lens of that grape
yes.
variety.
Mm.
We're working with sites in Green Valley, the Kobler family, where yeah. we co-ferment some Viognier. Been working with them since 2003, all the way to the eastern side of the county. Our Obsidian Estate is in Knights Valley. We're 3 miles yeah. away from the Napa border. So it's really fun to have sites, you know, everywhere from the west side of the county to the east and everywhere in between.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more with David Milner. Back on The Good Stuff with our guest, David Milner, Director of Winemaking and Viticulture from Donnell and Family Wines. And before the break, you were mentioning the Obsidian Estate, which is in Knights Valley. So tell us a little bit about that, because I'm not sure how many people realize Donnell and has estate vineyards.
Sure. Yeah, I mean...
Or that there's probably Syrah planted in Knights Valley. Who knew that either, right?
So I know. Well, we're here to educate.
Yep.
So the relationship with the property goes back long before they owned it. Joe had been buying the fruit since, I want to say back to 02 or 03. So it was one of the early vineyards that they picked up, and they continued to work with it through all the transitions, and the opportunity came up to purchase it in 2015. And it's in this little pocket of Knights Valley. I like to call it the Bermuda Triangle of Sonoma County.
Oh, no.
I like it. I'm gonna
use
that now.
It's a little unexplored valley called Franz Valley. So it's not Knights Valley proper, but the AVA spills over into this little pocket valley that is runs contiguous essentially with Diamond Mountain. And it's this 7-acre promontory hillside. I always say, you know, the day that God created, he had on his viticulturalist hat. It's a perfect Southwest orientation.
Lovely.
I mean, it just screams grapes. So they'd made wine off there. It was completely planted to Syrah. There weren't any other varieties except for a little bit of Chardonnay. We think the ranch was originally planted in the early 70s. We have aerial photographs from the late 60s. And from the mid-70s and 60s, there's no grapes. 70s, there's grapes.
That's
so it
cold.
Was old vine vineyard, which Joe Donnellan always prized being a lover of these old world wines, and made a number of outstanding wines, wines that did really well with the critics, and that kind of all came to a screeching halt in October of 2017, the Tubbs Fire. With our proximity to Calistoga, the vineyard was subject to the fire, and basically just ran through the vineyard. And when we got in the vineyard, we went and checked out the vines to see if there was still vitality. The way you do that is notching down to the phloem to see if there's green bark or if it's dried out. Majority of the vines are dried out, so you know, for us to keep a middle section of the vineyard, do a replant around that wouldn't really work, so we were going to change row direction, density. So what we did do is we saved a bunch of the genetic material because we knew that it was Syrah, but we didn't know what clone or selection it was. You know, when it was planted back in the day, you know, Farmer Bill got budwood from Farmer John.
Right.
We knew that the vineyard's a great site, and obviously the genetics made incredible wine. It was these very small berried loose cluster, you know, 90 gram 80 gram clusters, which is extremely small for Syrah, so it makes a test wine. So I took this budwood. We had 200 cuttings, and I built a nursery at the estate while we're redeveloping it post fire. And from those 200, we took a tissue sample, tested every single 200 of the vines for virus, ran a full panel on them. And of the 200, 12 were virus free. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, we rogued all the virus material and propagated over 3,000 vines from 12 mothers.
Oh my God.
Holy cow.
Okay.
That is awesome.
I like to tell this story
because
that shows the Donnellan's dedication. Because we had to wait 5 years. It's an exponential growth. From 12 buds, you get 120. From 120, you're around 1,000, so on and so forth. So it took us a number of years to get these two blocks, 2 out of 10 blocks, are what we're now calling our heritage clone, online. You know, the Donnellans were willing to take that hit on that being a non-producing part to have this special piece of genetic material. So yeah, getting back, you know, we did a full replant starting in 18. We brought the vine density to 6x4, increased our vine count almost by thrice. That allowed us some flexibility. We don't just have Syrah up there. We have a little bit of Cabernet, two blocks. Have a little bit of Viognier and Roussanne. Viognier for co-fermentation with Syrah. Yep. Roussanne, white wine program.
Because why not? Because it's delicious.
Yeah, why not? You know, a quarter acre of Roussanne, right? A little bit of Cab Franc with the Cabernet. Hopefully that works out. Blended. And several different selections of Syrah. We have Alban selection. We have what we're calling our Heritage selection. And 877, which is a French Indov clone.
You must feel so connected to this vineyard. I mean, what an incredible experience to have. I mean, born out of tragedy, but what an incredible experience as somebody who's in the viticulture and winemaking side of it. Like, you get to now play with these grapes.
Yeah. I mean, it's an opportunity that doesn't come around. You know, it might be once in a career. Sometimes winemakers don't get a career to basically design and plan, you know, vineyard spacing, rootstock, variety, and the plan is morphed over the years. We're going to have a bit more Syrah than we have, and now we have some awesome Cabernet, which is just producing wonderful wine, and Grenache and Mourvèdre. But to be able to dig down and redefine what this vineyard scape will look like, it's an open book.
Do you vineyard designate that vineyard just for Cabernet, or do you do it for some of your other wines as well?
So historically, you know, it's been Syrah. The idea is that there will be a vineyard designate cab off of there. So we've started producing a little bit of cab. You know, stuff's coming online starting in 21. But we do a Sonoma County cab. And the idea behind that, you know, it's a testament to the Donnellan's, you know, belief in quality. Although it's a very expensive endeavor and it is our estate vineyard, we're not going to bottle an estate wine before it's time. Where there's some vine age, we have a few years working with it. Quality merits it. So what I did was I searched for Cabernet sites up and down the Mayacamas mountain range that had a little age to them, and we had some really good grower partners that we've been able to work with. Cornell up on the backside of Sonoma Mountain, the Fisher family, Constant Diamond Mountain Vineyards, we're buying Cabernet and have bought Cabernet from those individuals. So
that's great.
Yeah, the idea is that we'll have a single vineyard designate Cabernet, and in 22 we'll bottle our first single vineyard designate Syrah. Only about 80 cases, so small production.
You're gonna have to get a bottle of that for us.
I think. Yeah.
We won't ask for. We won't be greedy.
That's cool. That's very cool.
It is cool. Yeah. So nothing from the replanted vineyards actually out yet and available.
No. I mean, you know, we haven't vineyard designated any wine.
Yeah.
You know, we've had Bibs and Bobs go into our Cuvée Christine or Cuvée Kelty, or even, you know, our rosé. Like when the vines were young and I didn't want to stress them out in 21, it was a drought year, I picked the Grenache and the Mourvèdre early and we made rosé out of it. You know, the world's most expensive rosé.
But I love a Grenache rosé.
Yeah, it makes wonderful, wonderful rosé. But yeah, 22 will basically be like the kind of pre-reveal in 23 for the Syrah and for the new vineyard will really be like it's coming out party. The 23s are just phenomenal, and there was vine age enough, and blocks were online. These heritage blocks are online that really had enough fruit to play with this strata of whole cluster, you know, 0% to almost 100%, co-ferments with Viognier. So in 23 and in 24, you know, we're averaging about, including press cuts that we make, 15 different lots from the vineyard.
From the 7 acres.
From the 7 acres. We do a lot of small, detailed micro ferment. Our average fermentation size is like 1.2 tons.
Wow.
Yeah, it gets really granular. We're not a large winery.
Yeah.
And, you know, the easy way to do it would be just pick the entire block and throw it in one tank. But that's not our style. We like to play with gradation of whole cluster, different fermentation temperatures, different times of cuvée song, some long, some short. We have wooden tanks. We have concrete. So we have amphora.
It's a playground.
I love it all.
I've never been a chocolate and vanilla type of guy. You know, you give me a choice, I want Spumoni.
Yeah,
so,
like,
you know, the winery kind of reflects
you
that.
You are the Baskin-Robbins of winemaking.
Let's do it.
Well, and as wine drinkers, we're pretty grateful for that.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break again. When we come back, we're going to open some Donnellan wine. So, Carissa will be happy.
Yes.
Thank you.
phone with David Milner, Donilon Family Wines, and we're about to open some Donilon Family Wines.
We were about to. Now we did.
That sound never gets old.
I know. Never.
No.
Never.
Instant happiness guaranteed. So tell us a little bit about the wine that we are pouring here.
Sure. I brought a Chardonnay. You know, people know us for Rhone varieties. This is a newer bottling and only our second single vineyard Chardonnay, Cuvée Perrine. It's named after Tripp Donilon, who's been in the business for over 15 years working alongside with his father. At the age of 40, he decided to marry and have a beautiful daughter. Therefore, she had first dibs on a new wine.
I love it.
And Cuvée Perrine, this wine's really, there's a personal element to this. You know, my first job in the wine industry was working at Gary Farrell. And the marquee wines there were from Rocchioli and Allen Vineyard. Mm-hmm. Allen Vineyard being the contiguous property with the famed Rocchioli Vineyard in the Middle Reach on West Side Road. The Rocchioli's planted it and had been stewards of the land since the 70s. And I always loved the Chardonnay from here. It was my favorite wine at Gary Farrell. Always a special occasion wine. So I heard through the proverbial grapevine. This is back in 21.
I see what you did with that.
Yeah.
Stink, chink. Chink, chink.
Well, cheers, but I'm also seeing if our producer wants some wine.
Oh, I thought you were just toasting.
I'm toasting, too. Yeah.
So in 21, you know, the COVID era, some wineries are slimming back, and the opportunity, you know, I heard this block was open. David Ramey vacated this block. He'd been buying fruit from Allen and Rocchioli and labeling it under Allen, labeling under Rocchioli, making a phenomenal Chardonnay, mm-hmm. stellar Chardonnay. And I emailed Tom, I called him, and I basically just begged for the first meeting. This was on a Friday. I was like, I can meet you there Saturday, Sunday, what time?
I'm available all week.
Yeah. 7 a.m., 7 p.m., whatever you want.
He's like, try Monday. Yeah, that's exactly what he was like. I could be there Monday at 6 a.m., 7 a.m. He's like, I'll meet you there at 8. But I have other people lined up later in the afternoon. Well, it turns out, you know, 3 hours later, we're touring the whole ranch, we're talking, awesome. And he ends up canceling his other appointments and giving us up this block, which it's really, it feels like I'm coming full circle, you know, being a college student, pouring this wine, to being able to make it. And it's just really, can't say enough about working with Tom Rocchioli and his team, you know, their dedication to growing the best grapes, to be able to make the best wine. You know, they're wine growers in the true sense of the word.
Yeah.
And I can't say enough great things about this wine.
I know. And Chardonnay, always.
I'm going to give it 5 stars and delicious.
I'll take that.
Okay, 5 stars. Is that our rating system?
I don't know. 5 stars. I'm just going to go 5 stars and delicious.
Sounds good.
I'm not going to complicate it.
No, don't.
So it is really delicious.
So maybe talk us through like how people can come and experience these wines. You've got, you know, where your facility is. It's a great tasting experience. Talk us through like how many wines people get to try.
Sure. Yeah, we're open by appointment. Our tasting facility is in the winery, so you get to see the real deal, the action go down. And it's a real convenient central location, Coffee Park. So right there in Santa Rosa, we've been there, same spot since 2003, next to our good buddies, Moonlight Brewery, you know, shout out to those guys, and Jeff Bassoni at Gravity.
Yep.
Awesome set of neighbors. We have a gentleman named Chris Sanborn who will host you. We really believe in, you know, giving the people what they want, so we have a full-on conversation, whether it's over email or phone, asking people what type of wines they like to drink, what they like to collect.
I love that.
If they want to do library wines, we have that option. If they want to stay with Syrah, if they want to do Pinot, we will hand-tailor the experience. So this isn't a belly-up-to-the-bar type situation. Yeah. It's really a bespoke pouring experience. And then usually you're in for 90 minutes or even longer, depending on how engaged you are. You get a tour of the winery. If I'm around or our cellar master Mai is around, you know, bump in, say hi, we'll nerd out, maybe taste a barrel, show you our lab.
Stomp some stems, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you know, we've been known to do that. We'll put you to work, you know, for crushing fruit.
Fantastic. Okay, well, so the address I have it here is 3352 D Coffee Lane, Santa Rosa. And the website's donilonwines.com. That's donilanwines.com. By reservation, I think it said private tastings Thursday through Monday.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go.
Just go.
Just go. That's all we can say. Just go.
Just go. 5 stars.
Okay. We want to thank our 5-star guest, David Milner, for joining us today from Donilon Family Wines. Go visit.
Yes. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Things up on today's good stuff, and hey, let's just get right to it.
I was like, I'm going to just continue my Saturday afternoon wines all the way through Tuesday.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, keep it simple.
Right? So, yeah. No, that was so much fun. I do love Rhone wines, and I'm excited on Tuesday. I'm going to stick with Donnellan. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the Venus. You're going to ask me, what is that?
I am.
Okay. It is the Roussanne Viognier Blend 2021. That's the current vintage, so that's what I'm doing.
Okay, well, delish. I'll see your Venus and raise you a Cardiac Hill.
That is an interesting combination.
Uh-huh. Cardiac Hill Syrah, also 21, Bennett Valley, Gem Rose Vineyard. I think a very, very early one for them. A very early one for a lot of people in Syrah.
For sure.
Bennett Valley, surely a little bit more cool climate than some other parts of our county, and I just love it. So that's what I'm having.
Okay.
Venus.
I'll bring my Venus and come over. Okay. I do love the good stuff wine. It's so much fun.
Yeah, and I do think people should go and check out Donnellan. I mean, it's a great tasting experience, mm-hmm. great wines, different take on Sonoma County fruit, and fascinating to hear kind of how they redid that vineyard. Amazing.
I actually want to go visit the vineyard as mm-hmm. well, not just go do a wine tasting.
I know, because, I mean, after that, a lot of people would be like, I give up.
Yeah, and I didn't know that whole story, but I did know that there wasn't any Obsidian wines for a while, so.
I remember for years they would always say, you have to come see our estate, and then it was like, well, the estate
bummer
needs a little time to recover, and so I still haven't seen it, but.
But what an investment, time, energy, resources to bring that vineyard back to life, so that is really, really cool.
Yeah, and
can't
for
wait
him,
to try those
a great
wines.
Experience as well. Yeah, I think the wines will be really amazing. So maybe we'll have them back. And
we should
just
do
taste
that.
Through
yeah.
Obsidian.
We'll be like, we don't need to hear your story this time. Just pour us wine.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll just kidding. You had a great
show.
Story.
We'll have a silent show.
We were just allowing more time for wine. That's mm-hmm. all. That's all. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well,
I think
what
that
else?
Sounds good.
We're here to wrap things up and enjoy our Tuesday night wines. Anything?
Yeah. I would
party
just say,
thoughts?
I would just say go check out DonnellanWines.com and make an appointment. Go visit them. And maybe next time I will unveil the Employee of the Year.
Okay, well,
stay tuned. Stay tuned with that cryptic ending.
With
there you
that,
go.
From Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.